Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. This is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow. Live from Twin Peaks on I-10 in Kirkwood. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? It's a Thursday on The Usual Suspects, and we're shuffling it up a little bit in more ways than one as we've been slid down to the cleanup spot as we're taking over for the Blitz for a day. So, Blitzer, sorry, bear with us. And also Barry and Nick out of town, respectively. Barry in Oklahoma City doing comedy. Nick in Vegas doing all kinds of illegal things. So my good friend Raheel is sitting next to me. And Raheezy in the Heezy should be fun. Tyler to my right. Aaron back at the studio. Let's have some fun, peeps. We're going to take you till 7. Lead you up as your pregame right into Texans football as the, as I like to say, do or die Houston Texans Colts game, with the winner probably going to the playoffs and the loser going home. What's up, man?
What it do, baby?
Lots to talk about today. Different doing the old nighttime drive slot because breaking news comes out and you're not in the middle of the day where things kind of calm down and you are regurgitating stuff people already talked about. And lo and behold, as I was driving in, this Myles Garrett thing got a little bit more interesting and lots of stuff we can talk about today.
Absolutely, and we want you to interact with us on Twitter as well, Pac-Man Joel, at the underscore Raheel. And we'll get to, I don't know, I'm not going to read the text line. I know this is a pretty heavy text line.
I'll check
line.
It. Yeah, we
You'll
have,
check it.
Yeah,
I don't check it.
Yeah, that's fine. That's
yeah,
fine.
There's just too much positivity on the text line for
oh,
me,
God.
So it gets overwhelming. I'm like, wow, my heart is so full with compliments and excitement and positivity that I don't even check anymore because it's just so much positivity. Well, I just go on Twitter.
So you guys don't look at it in the morning either?
No, we don't touch it.
It's crazy because, like, when we first started doing this, Barry wanted to be the gatekeeper of the text messages. So Barry's the only one that looks at the inbox. I look at the deleted items. Nick looks at it once a month. And I quickly found out that just looking at the deleted items pisses you off a lot less than if you were looking at the inbox.
Yeah.
Because everybody's a critic.
Yeah, of course. That's why I don't even go on there. It's not even worth it. So if you want to interact with us, call us. We'll take phone calls, by the way.
Which right? normally the Blitz yeah, doesn't, but we will. We'll mix it up a little bit.
Calls.
Yeah, we can do it. That's fine.
I love phone calls.
I'm totally
That's,
good with that.
So 713-780-3776. But, yeah, you talked about the Myles Garrett situation. For those of you that don't know, Myles Garrett had his meeting with the NFL to appeal the indefinite suspension. And
yesterday.
Yeah, yesterday.
Yep.
And it broke later from ESPN that one of the – reasons he used why he attacked Mason Rudolph the way he did was because of a racial slur that was thrown out by Mason Rudolph, which if you're going to accuse somebody of that, especially in the NFL and you're white or you're accusing a white player, that holds a lot of weight because I don't know if you know this, Joel, but you're going to be playing with a lot of black players.
Yes.
And that could ruin somebody, right?
I was having this conversation with my mother-in-law as I was getting ready for the show, and we were watching ESPN, and I said, look, I can't speak for an NFL locker room, though I have friends, obviously, that played in the NFL. Mm-hmm. But I could tell you in an NBA locker room, and looking at the replays when you saw how many Steelers were around Rudolph during that whole interaction with Myles Garrett, I don't care what colored uniform you were wearing. If, indeed, he dropped a racial slur on Myles Garrett, his own teammates would have been on his ass. Because I can tell you of situations that I've been in where there was just an innuendo that a Caucasian might have dropped something that would have been offensive to someone of color. And it didn't matter who was signing your checks at that point. It was, You either clarify or you prepare to die. I mean, that's just not acceptable. I just thought with the referee sitting right there and three Steelers linemen around him and everything going on between those two guys, I just don't think that was going to be legit.
Yeah, and then what happens, the NFL immediately, I mean, the NFL is usually pretty slow sometimes, like with things and responding, but they immediately release a statement officially from the NFL that they found nothing that would suggest that he said something of a racial tone or a racial slur.
So they upheld the suspension because of that and other
still
things.
Indefinite. So
Ogunjobi got one game. That was upheld. Mm-hmm. The only change was Pouncey's went from 3 games to 2 games. And the rumor yesterday was they didn't want Pouncey playing in the rematch with the Browns.
Why?
Because of the fact that they thought he was one of the guys that said they all better take care of that in their locker room or we'll take care of it when we see him again. Now, I didn't look at the schedule to see if that eliminated that second matchup or not. But, I mean, if you really – I was thinking about that when we read it yesterday, and I didn't say it on the air. But here's the thing. If you're the league, you could say, okay, we're going to lower the suspension to 1 game. But guess what? It's going to be the Browns game. We're going to keep you out of that game.
They play
again
December 1st.
I don't think anybody
1st.
Would argue about that.
Yeah, they're going to be playing on December 1st. Okay. They got the Dolphins this weekend coming up. See, if I'm the NFL, and see, this is why I shouldn't be running pro sports, because everything would turn into what I grew up with, which is the WWE, right?
Yeah.
I'm looking at storylines. I'm going, we're moving Brown Steelers into prime time.
Yep.
Everyone's eligible to play. Come on back, Myles Garrett, for 1 game. Isn't that more interesting? Wouldn't you tune in?
Interesting.
Now? I'm watching.
Your ratings are going through the roof that. And you would probably have sponsors that might not otherwise.
Yeah.
That would be jumping on, whether it be like gambling sites or,
dude,
you know,
everything.
Otherwise, that would be like, we want in on that. Because you're right. I mean, the marketing machine that is WWE would be all over it. The NFL, just like you said, they responded so quickly because they knew, one, they've screwed up enough things in the last couple of years. But also they knew this was something that had the interest of even the casual to not so casual fan of the NFL going, I want to see how they handle this. And that's why they had to not only act swiftly with their initial reaction, which came quicker than normal, but the fact that after the appeal, they had to get back to people real quickly with what they were going to do.
Bro, I'd be so bad. I will put at halftime, I'm like, yo, let's do a Kaepernick workout too. I'm trying to, like, get all the ratings. I'm trying to get every single eyeball.
You'd be the one that on social media would be putting out the actual release that he had to sign right before the workout, going, hey, we're the NFL. We just put this release in Collins' people's hands.
Yeah.
See if he signs it.
Look, Steelers-Browns, I know up there it might be interesting because
it's a rivalry.
Everyone works in a factory, and they're like, I have nothing else going on, and they don't have Netflix there yet, and they look forward to it. But in the grand scheme of things, does anybody care about Steelers-Browns, especially how bad the Browns are this year? And there was some excitement, but they haven't lived up to the hype. No one's excited about Steelers football, all right, except for the Pouncey family. That's it. Like,
yeah,
who
I
else
mean,
cares? So
Steelers fan Juan is a loyal listener to our show, and he listens in Denver, and he's a big Steelers fan. But, yeah, I mean,
no one cares. This would make this game worth something, finally. Like, let's go watch that game. I want to watch. I'm putting Stephen A. Smith and T.O. in pregame. Letting them hash out the blackness.
I mean, it's T.O.
Yeah, did you see that today?
Yes, I did.
The blackness comments, like, oh, I want everything. Let's just get it all out there, and let's get major ratings.
Nothing off limits, no holds barred,
nope.
And just let everybody go.
Yeah.
That'd be a hell of a halftime show, by the way. It's just let those two, like, verbally go at each other.
Yeah, let's do it.
Stephen A. would be talking about guys that, like, have never played before or haven't played in, like, 20 years as being guys that are coming off the injured list.
He's going, yeah, second half preview, he brings up Big Ben. You know, like, dude, he's been out.
T.O. is going to be doing sit-ups in the commercial breaks.
Still the best abs in the history of the NFL?
Dude, yeah.
Yeah. Like, who had better abs?
I mean, dude, like, see, that guy was just gifted genetically with the way he was, you know, with his speed and the size and everything like that. But, again, another guy that if he had a little more common sense. I mean, because bottom line is the Hall of Fame thing should have been, like, first ballot, slam dunk, no doubt. And there's no doubt people crapped all over him and kept him out because he pissed so many people off.
Yeah. So we also have Texans. We got the Texans
big
Colts.
Big game night, yep.
And we just saw this before we got on. By the way, we're at Twin Peaks Kirkwood.
I-10 Kirkwood, yep.
Stop by. This is the place to watch the game. T.Y. Hilton did it again. He wore the clown mask.
They all did. They all wore, like, Halloween costumes. Fellas, that was in October. But, yeah, they all came in costume and, like, social media and otherwise putting out all these different, hey, guess who, and look at us, and we're in Halloween costumes. Well, I know that the one thing the Texans don't do is don't comment till after the game, because if there's one guy that can wear whatever he wants when he walks into NRG Stadium, it's T.Y. Hilton.
Yeah, it's crazy. His games here, the eight games that he has, those are great seasons. Like, it's a half a season worth of games. I'll get you the numbers. We'll get to that as we keep going here. We're here till 7 o'clock. But the numbers that he has, man, just here at NRG Stadium is crazy. So, like, he owns the Texans. Obviously, we all know that.
Yep.
The Colts own the Texans, especially in the last handful of games.
Jacoby Brissett, 4-0 in his career.
Yeah.
In his short career against the Texans.
And when he starts, they're 6-2. So they're a good team. They're just as good as you. Tonight will determine a lot. And if you want to interact with us about that, let us know what you think about the game. Do people even care about the game after what happened with the Ravens? Lost the way they lost, like, what's the excitement level like? You let us know. We're here with you till 7 p.m.
Yeah, no doubt. And we're going to have a lot of fun. So we're going to get ready for that football game tonight, talk about a lot of that, including the secondary of the Texans, all the guys that are out, who's in, how you're going to expect that to go for your team as well as the Colts. And we're going to talk about the Rockets last night and a loss in Denver. A long winning streak snapped as they prepare to take on Kawhi, PG-13, and the Clippers. Lots on our agenda, but if there's always something on your mind you want to get off your chest, we're here for you. 713-780-3776. Call that number. Yes, text that number. I'll check them. We see the tweets already coming in. Raheel gave you the Twitter addresses. So we look forward to doing this and doing it for the next 3 hours. We'll take you till 7 o'clock. All you do, keep it tuned right here, ESPN 97.5. Before we go to the break, I do want to tell you about the good people at Fitz Roofing. I've been telling you about them for a long period of time. If you're looking to do something with your roof at home, maybe you just want to fix a leak or you want to put a new roof on the house, there's only one place to go. It's Fitz Roofing, because you're going to avoid the storm chasers, deposit thieves, sketchy roofers that take your money up front, just never live up to the billing or do the job they're supposed to do. Not the case with Fitz Roofing, because they're locally owned and operated, and what they do for you. So you can check them at fitzroofing.com, F-I-T-Z-roofing.com, or better yet, call them 832-521-3001. They're going to come to your house, do a free, no obligation inspection. They're going to go back to work. If you want them, you call them back, say, hey, I want to do what you guys said you're going to do, and they're going to do it better than anybody else. Their base warranty is longer than your average roofer, and the fact that they have an A-plus rating on the Better Business Bureau, 5-star ratings on Facebook and Home Advisor mean they're the place to go. They also use the best material in the business, including CertainTeed shingles. Check them out. I'm telling you, you'll be happy you did. There's no place like it, and there's no better place to go for a roof. It's Fitz Roofing, making a difference one home at a time.
Listening to ESPN 97.5.
I don't blame it, Don.
This is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow. Live from Twin Peaks on I-10 in Kirkwood, this is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, you heard the man. Aaron, by the way, I thought you were going to jazz that up a little bit and take those other guys that are traders out, put Raheel in or you in and...
Michael already had it made, snappy. So I wasn't going to put him through more work to go and, you know,
well,
delete
the
two
hell
that decided to skip out on, you know, what they say is their biggest priority.
Yeah, what Trader Vic and his buddy both going, just leaving us. I appreciate Raheel doing double duty because he actually worked this morning and in the office and then came back in to do the show tonight.
I wouldn't miss it, man. You asked and then the people asked, and I'm all about the people, man. The people are like, Raheel, we need you in drive time today. Get you ready for the Texans game. And I said, well, I'm the wrong person, but I'll still do it. I'm here for you.
I appreciate
that.
Yeah, I'm good. One last thing before, and we can get back to it. We'll double back on the Myles Garrett thing if you want. But the one last thing that I thought was very interesting was when you think about all the things that were said, the one thing, because, again, if there was truly some kind of racial slur used, then it behooves the NFL to explore it. You even said, look, they looked into it. They couldn't find any evidence of it. But the thing is, and I don't know if it was – Rudolph's lawyer or the Steelers, but someone came out with a press release that said after the game, he made no mention of it. In the press release that he backed up and verified and supported from the Browns, no mention of it. Yeah. The fact that they went to the locker room today after practice and asked Sheldon Richardson and other guys that play on the defensive line with him that have the lockers right near him and said it. And they said, not only did he not say anything, the first we're hearing about this is you guys telling us about it right now. That tells you there's no way. That was just his way of trying to get a couple games reduced on the suspension.
Yeah, he was just trying to get out of it.
And it's cheesy. It. Yeah, that's a BS move.
That's a horrible move because, you know, and I hope, and people can be dumb, right? But I hope people can be smart here and not put that label on Mason Rudolph, right? You go, oh, yeah, like even in joking terms, that's not the right thing to do there, right? Because
right.
he didn't say the NFL's come out. At some point, something would have leaked by now, right, whether it be from the broadcast or mic'd up players or sources. Nothing had leaked. It was a week. So, yeah, it was just Miles doing that. And, see, that's where the issue is. Now, they're not going to be as polite with the punishment. They're not going to say, okay, you know what, Miles? We're going to give you 6 or 4 or whatever the number could have been.
Right.
Now they're going to say, we're adding some more on. Because
we're not going to go, hey, nice try, but we're not going to punish you for that. But good effort, but we'll just go with what we originally. It's going to tick them off, too, because it's another bad look for the league.
Yeah.
It's like this is already bad enough that there was assault with a helmet. That, and I think I've heard you talk about this, too. But it could have been a lot worse.
Mm-hmm.
The fact of the matter is that if that helmet lands, it's the difference between – what could you know? I said this. The replays that we've seen ad nauseum, and again today, 150 times. You think back to the Alex Smith injury with the Texans. They showed it once. They refused to show it again. And when they did on the highlight shows, they digitized it so that you never saw the actual leg. If that crown of that helmet connects with his dome piece, we never see that highlight as many times as we've seen it.
Okay, and so here's my... my opinion on all this, like the actual games. Like, let's discuss the games for a second, right?
Mm-hmm.
What I don't like is we do the what if scenario. Like, what actually happened was Mason Rudolph got hit. Yes, he did get hit. Nothing worse happened, luckily for the NFL, for Mason Rudolph, for Miles Garrett, everybody involved, right? Like, luckily he was, as soon as he got hit, he still had the ability to turn to the ref and go, hey, somebody throw a flag.
Yep.
This guy just hit me, right? But what did happen, and I compared to another cheap shot is when Gronk, after the play was over against the Bills, he cheap shots Tre'Davious White. Instead of using a 2-pound helmet or however much a helmet weighs, he used 270 pounds of himself, darts himself into the back of a dude's head. He gets a concussion. The guy is knocked out. He actually has an injury, right?
Right.
And he only got one game. So, like, I want to base the suspension on actual damage done, not the what if. So if
okay,
it's
I see
right?
your
so,
point, right?
Because so why should that be indefinite?
But I had mentioned like the difference between attempted murder and murder, right?
Sure,
and
sure.
Because you didn't actually succeed with it. But here's the thing: if someone pulls out a gun and shoots at you, and they just have bad aim,
mm-hmm.
they shouldn't get off the hook.
But if another guy shot somebody and the person was actually injured. And it was also the intent was, I'm trying to injure you.
So a guy pulls out a gun, he shoots you, but he shoots you in the arm. Mm-hmm. And you're okay, as opposed to in the abdomen and you bleed out.
Yeah, there's two. I mean, that.
It's still a severe action.
So, yeah, so like, but the actual what if here, there is no what ifs. Both events are over. Mason Rudolph took a helmet to the head. He was not injured. It was still a bad act, a bad look for the NFL. No one's going to disagree with that.
Right.
I think we can all say that was a horrible look. That was not a good look for Miles Garrett. But the actual injuries now, let's talk about like the actual damage from it. When you've got a guy spearing himself at a defenseless player who's out of bounds, who just happened to pick you off.
And
like that, and he got one game, and there was no outrage. Hey, why shouldn't Gronk be arrested? That frustrates me. And this is just me making peace with all the stuff that
but
heard,
you know what? But, here's the thing. Yeah. I've never shied away from the fact that Mason Rudolph should have faced some punishment, too.
Mm-hmm.
Because after the initial takedown, which I also still don't understand, because if you're the Browns, you're winning the football game. It's the second-to-last player, last play of the game. And all of a sudden, he's already gotten rid of the football. And it's like, I can get it if you're losing and you're going to lose that game and the Browns are going to take more heat. And so your frustration boils over. You hit him anyway. You take him to the ground. You take your frustrations out. You're going to win. But then, once the initial interaction happens and Rudolph tries to take off his helmet and really keep it going, and then they basically get separated and he gets the helmet off of him, if Rudolph doesn't go back at him, he's not even within range enough to get hit in the head with a helmet.
Yeah.
So I think that Rudolph should face something in terms of punishment, whether it be fine-oriented or a one-game suspension himself. But overall, after you look at that, Ogunjobi was just, I mean, first of all, a guy's got his helmet off and his back turned to you, and you're going to go put him to the ground. I think he got off light with just one because that was a cheap shot.
Yeah.
And if Pouncey's the guy that, like I said, the same way if a teammate heard a racial slur, even though you're on my team, if you offend me with that, they'd be passionate. The passion he showed to stick up for his own player, I'm totally good with, and I don't think he should have gotten 3 games to begin with.
Yeah, so by the way, yeah, the adjustment on that suspension, 2 games now.
2 games, yeah.
That's pretty cool. You can kick a dude in the helmet and only get 2 games, right?
But if you're if you kick a guy with his helmet off, like Andre Girard of the Cowboys when Albert Haynesworth did it, now 33 stitches later, it's a different story.
Yeah, so there's like, look, and obviously Roger Goodell has never shown any signs of being consistent, so me arguing this makes no sense anyway.
Funny thing is, has he ever even spoken on this?
No.
He's let the statements come out, but it's never been Goodell addressing it. We see Rob Manfred every day talking about the Astros and the scandal there. He's putting himself at the front and center of a big deal.
Yep.
This is a big deal, and we haven't heard from Roger Goodell.
Yeah.
That's what makes it very strange to me as well. So with that being said, if you guys do want to talk about that, you can also hit us up. By the way, shout out to Justin who tweeted us or texted us, even though you don't want to read it. Says, can't tell you how happy I am to have my two favorite personalities on the same show at the same time. It's going to be awesome.
Aw.
We appreciate
that.
Thank you
so much.
Very nice.
How about UFC fighter Juan, our man Juan?
Yeah.
I love him. Juan's such a good dude. Juan Adams is listening. He's on his way. He's driving to New Mexico right now, and I believe he's starting up a new fight camp out there in New Mexico. So shout out to Juan Adams, all cornrowed up now.
Cool.
Love it.
Very
He's
cool.
a very small guy. That's the thing about Juan. When he walks in, you go, this guy's not a fighter. The dude's like 6'4", 250.
I've seen him. I think I've seen him at the station before.
Juan Adams, he's a good dude.
Someone said, what's wrong with Joel's voice? Is he sick? I don't know if it's going out bad, but I don't think I sound. Do I sound sick?
No, I don't think so.
Tyler, and I'm sorry. Maybe it could be your radio. All right, so with all that being said, again, if you want to join the show, we are here for you, and we're going to talk about a lot of things. Look, we got the Texans game to get to. We know that. Raheel and I are basketball heads. We're going to talk to you about the Rockets last night and a hell of a game between the Celtics and the Clippers and the fact that we can tell you all how what we think about how the Rockets stack up with some of the best teams in the league. Nick had a great opinion that we shouldn't be passing judgment on this Rockets team until 20 games in. But when you look at what we've seen so far, I think the tendencies are strong enough that we can form and forge an opinion or two. So we'll get to some of that as well. And, of course, if there's something on your mind you want to get off your chest, shout at us, 713-780-3776. Text that number or call that number on the HRP listener line or send us a tweet. We'll get to that, as well as some Charles Barkley controversy. Imagine that.
Yeah.
We'll get to that as well. So we appreciate you being patient with us if you're a blitzer. But join us as we are the suspects, and Raheel's in for Barry, as we're at the I-10 and Kirkwood location of Twin Peaks. If you're getting off of work, you want a great spot to hang out with us, check out the beautiful Twin Peaks girls, and, of course, those eats, drinks, and scenic views. Stop by and see us, I-10 and Kirkwood. Back with more. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Tonight I can't sleep, sleeping in the light of day for like weeks.
Reality was out of focus. I could be open. G'day, mate. This is Sam Windsor of the Houston Sabercats. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow. Live from Twin Peaks on I-10 in Kirkwood, this is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back.
Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Barry and Nick out. Raheel and Aaron, as well as Tyler in. We appreciate the family at ESPN 97.5 stepping up and covering as the boys are out of town. So we're going to be talking some Houston Texans football, as Raheel and I mentioned, with a big game tonight. A do-or-die situation, it looks like, between the Colts and your Texans. And with that, we bring in our expert. We appreciate her as well, because normally Sarah Barshop joins us on Fridays leading up to the game on Sundays. But instead, she was able to fit us into her schedule pregame. And she joins us now. If you don't know already, follow her at Sarah Barshop on Twitter. And better yet, make sure you go to ESPN.com and follow all of her articles and the updated information, which actually is very, very handy this week with your Houston Texans as she follows them. Sarah, thanks so much for joining us. We appreciate you.
Of course. Great to talk to you guys before the game.
So tell us, it's a big who's who, who's in, who's out. What the hell are they doing in the secondary with everybody that looks like they're not playing? What's the latest?
Justin Reed has been out because he's been ruled out because he has a concussion. I'm not sure about Bradley Roby yet, but Lonnie Johnson's probably not going to play. So I think it's another one of those weeks. It seems like every week, right, someone else from the secondary is on, is ruled out or just is not active. So that's not what you want when you have the Colts in town, that's for sure. So I think that's going to be a key matchup to watch today.
Yeah, and especially with what T.Y. Hilton has done against the Texans here in Houston, you need all hands on deck here. What do you think the matchup's going to be tonight? Who's going to be on him mainly?
You know, I don't know. If Roby plays, I would think it's him. But if not, it would be by committee. It's, you know, it's not like they have the Jalen Ramsey where they just have one guy shadowing him usually. So we'll see. Jonathan Joseph did not play a lot last week, and he was healthy. So to me, that will also be very interesting to see how he's used tonight, especially with the injuries they have.
Yeah. Well, with that, then we get right into the secondary. It looks like our man Vernon Hargreaves is going to play, right? How much is he going to play? I know that he was a starter with Tampa, but it looks like not only is he going to be pressed into action, but he's probably going to play quite a bit tonight, isn't he?
Yeah, I think we'll see. You know, I was unsure if he'd play last week. He ended up not playing because he had such a short week to get ready for that game. But we talked to Bill O'Brien, we talked to him, and they seemed like, you know, he's picked up this defense very well. You know, that's what happens when you have talented players, right? Like, there's different schemes, but at the end of the day, you're still talking about a lot of similar things. And as long as the communication is there, and that's what Jonathan Joseph told us, that's the hardest thing when you get someone new in, is just being able to communicate so that someone doesn't get lost or burned during the game. But if you have that communication, then you're probably okay, even if they're still picking up the defense.
Yeah, Sarah Barshop on with us right here on ESPN 97.5. Make sure you follow her on Twitter, at Sarah Barshop. All right, let's talk about the mood of the locker room. Obviously, what happened on Sunday, it's in the past now, but it was a major defeat. They now have to regroup fast, Thursday Night Football. Not only Thursday Night Football, but pretty much the playoff chances alive or dead today.
Do or die situation.
It really is. What was the mood like with the guys getting ready for tonight's game?
You know, I thought it was interesting because a lot of times guys won't tell you that one game is more important than the other, and they'll say, you know, every week's important, every week, you know, you need to win. But this week, like DeAndre Hopkins said after game, against the Colts, it's a must win. We've got to have that. A lot of guys said that this week. And I think that's, I looked at the stats today, I think the winner of this game has a 70% chance to win the division, and the loser drops to 20%. So they all know, they've seen that. Obviously, they came back from that 0-3 start last year. They know that you're not really out of it until you're out of it. But this game, it would be hard to come back from the Colts beating them twice this season and holding the tiebreaker and then have to win the division by a game. So everyone in the locker room said it, seemed to say, like, not only was that a terrible loss to the Ravens, but it's nice that we have a short week now because you immediately get to turn your attention to the Colts. You don't have time to think about what happened in that game on Sunday. And again, this is a game they have to have.
I was going to say, especially with the fact you get the Patriots next week, so it doesn't get any easier. And if you lose to the Colts and then you have to face the Patriots, you can't afford any slip-ups, and you'd have to really get that game as well. So it is a tough stretch. It is a must-win. With that being said, at least this time, yeah, the Texans have some injuries, but the running game has been so important for the Colts all season and even last week especially, and now they lose Mac to a hand injury. How impactful is that going to be for them, and how do the Texans react to that in terms of their defensive schemes?
You know, it'll hurt them, but Bill O'Brien said, yeah, you can say all you want about that, but after Mac left the game, his backup ran for more than 100 yards. So they know it's still going to be tough. I think we'll be able to see this week whether it's J.J. Watt not being in the game anymore really does affect their run defense as much as it did on Sunday. Because obviously against the Jaguars, they did well. The Ravens, not so much. So I think we'll get a good glimpse into what the run defense is going to look the rest of the season in this game.
You know, it's crazy. The Colts, and Coach Frank Reich, they figured something out with Deshaun Watson that you can blitz them since last year. The four times that they have faced off, including the playoff game, he's been sacked 18 times. They've hit him 33 times. That offense, is that something that they're focusing on this week getting ready? Because they know what's going to happen. You know what the Colts are going to do on defense. How are they going to counter this with Deshaun and the rest of the guys?
You know, one thing Bill O'Brien said this week was that once Deshaun does something, once he makes a mistake once, or he has difficulty with something, he doesn't tend to do it again. He learns a lot from that. And so I think we'll know whether that's true today, right? I mean, it happened in the playoff game, like you said. It happened when they played earlier this season. I have a hard time seeing it happening a third time. I think that the Texans have had time to prepare for this. Maybe the Colts will do something differently and totally take the Texans out of their game. But I don't think we'll see a similar game to the time they played earlier this season, just because they know that, you know, you can't, if they're going to keep doing this, you've got to figure out a way to stop them, because if not, you're not going to win this game in this division.
Offensively, we know Deshaun struggled. He's not used to doing that. He gets a weapon back in Will Fuller, but again, people aren't sure what kind of Will Fuller they're going to get. You're around that team every day. Is that just something that the Colts are going to have to game plan for? Is Will Fuller going to be part of the game plan and be out there and play a significant role along with Kenny Stills and obviously D-Hop and the rest?
You know, I think he'll be part of the game plan, but as we've seen this season, with all the weapons they have, they no longer have to rely on just Hopkins and then just Will Fuller. They have Kenny Stills, who I think actually will probably play more than Will Fuller does. I mean, I think they'll use Fuller, but I also think that they're not going to just rely on him. It's not going to be like that game against Atlanta where he had 3 touchdowns and like 217 yards. But I think he'll get some playing time and he'll start to work his way back, because with the hamstring injury, with the soft tissue injuries, obviously you don't want to limit him in a game, but you also don't want to re-aggravate that because there's a lot of season left.
We got Sarah Barshop on with us. Make sure you follow her on Twitter at Sarah Barshop. Have you walked around the stadium and seen Whitney Mercilus anywhere? I mean, it was a great start to the season. After JJ goes down, this defense has not been the same, obviously, and that's what you would expect with a player that good off the defense. Also, the secondary injuries, you know, they start piling up around the same time. But you're looking for Whitney, you know, to step up and be a veteran on this defense. What's been happening with him? Why has he just disappeared?
Yeah, I mean, just like you said, J.J. Watt's not there, and other teams are not having to double and triple-team J.J. Watt. Whitney's getting a lot more attention, and if you're not J.J. Watt, if you're not a player of that caliber, it's probably really hard to counteract that. So I think we're seeing kind of what we all suspected, that with Watt off the field, it really makes a big difference, and Whitney's not going to be as effective the rest of the year because they don't have him. And you can say that there are other good pieces on this defense, but really Whitney was the only proven pass rusher after Watt got hurt, and he hasn't really showed up on the stat sheet since. So I think this is just what this defense looks like without J.J. Watt.
All right, so you're the one that people put their rent money on, whatever you say. So they're waiting for you to break down the game tonight. How does it go down? Who wins this game, Colts-Texans?
I think the Texans will win, but I've gone back and forth a lot on that. I think this will be a close game. I think we'll see a good game from Brissett and Watson. But I think the Texans will win by a field goal. I think they'll get the running game going this week, which is something they haven't been able to do, or they didn't do last week, certainly, except for that long run by Hyde. And I think they'll be able to stop the Colts running game, which will be very important in this game, even with Mac out.
So if it comes down to a field goal, you're telling me Kyahmi Fairbairn's going to actually make it?
Well, I don't know how long the field goal is going to be, but I think if it's within 50 yards, I think he's got it.
Or it could be Vinatieri trying to go for a game-tying field goal, and he
missed. Yeah, that could be. Instead of saying something like it comes down to turnovers or something like that, it could come down to which kicker doesn't miss as much.
That would be no fun for someone on deadline, so let's not hope for that. Please.
All right, I'm going to give you a little bet here, okay, Sarah? $10,000 from 45. You can either take Kyahmi or Vinatieri. Which one are you taking?
Oh, I'm not taking Vinatieri. I'd take Kyahmi.
What? Wow, a guy that won a Super Bowl with a kick in that stadium?
Sarah's right. He's been so bad this year.
I know he has, but okay. Well, we appreciate you, Sarah. Hey, have a great time at the game tonight. Everybody needs to follow you and your columns on ESPN.com, as well as, like Raheel said, on Twitter. We really appreciate you making some time on game day.
Yeah, thanks. Great talk to you guys.
There you go. Sarah Barshop giving you some insight from the stadium, getting ready for Texans and Colts in a big one in H-Town tonight that the whole world will see. And we know that everybody's watching because we saw what happened when the Myles Garrett situation happened last Thursday night. Now you've got – Barry was talking about this. We go back and forth on how crappy some of the national schedule has been. But lately there's been some really good games.
Yeah.
They flexed Niners-Packers to Sunday Night Football this week. You got Texans-Colts on Thursday night. So there's two good ones right there for you. I don't know what the Monday night game is
Ravens,
yet.
Ravens. Ravens
and Rams.
Yeah.
Ravens, so there you go. So three pretty decent games there on the national TV schedule, and it starts right here in your backyard this evening as it's Texans and Colts. So we've got plenty more to get to on that. If you guys want to shout out and discuss something that's going on your mind with how that game might play out. But, of course, lots of other things to get to. Basketball, baseball news with some signings, and all kinds of other stuff. It's the Usual Suspects filling in for the Blitz right here on ESPN 97.5.
Shawty wanna be famous, don't it? Cool. Said that she want a paddock with her name up on it. Paddock. You gotta run her up and get them painted.
I hear that.
You can now listen to all your favorite shows on the Amazon Echo.
Oh, sweet, dude.
Just say, Alexa, open ESPN 97.5.
Now playing ESPN 97.5.
This is an ESPN 97.5 Road Show. Live from Twin Peaks on I-10 in Kirkwood, this is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back.
Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, rolling through a special fill-in for the Blitz portion of the Usual Suspects as we shuffled the deck. Charlie filled in for us. We're filling in for the Blitz. The Blitz filled in for Charlie. It's a one-time deal. Tomorrow, Raheel, I believe, is going to be resting his vocal cords. So Josh Jordan from Moneyline joins me back at the studio 1-4
nice.
As we're in our regular slot. But a lot of people showing us love and appreciating us filling in, especially our man Dr. Dre on 290. Loyal to the entire lineup, but again, he is a self-proclaimed executive producer to the show, so he gave me a list of 18 people to give shout-outs to. We'll maybe get to that later, but we appreciate him listening.
Yeah, it's a key party pretty much here at Gal Media today with ESPN.
Yep.
Everybody threw their partners into
yep.
a bowl, and
yep.
you happened to pick me, so we're here making some radio love together.
And now they have fantasy. I didn't need all yeah. that, but now it's a fantasy draft, and their fantasy's coming true.
Did that really happen back in the 70s, like those key parties?
I don't know, but I know that when I was affiliated with the Rockets and we were on 610, that they literally did a swap meet once a year
mm-hmm.
where they not only shuffled the shows, but they shuffled every host for one day. So for one day, you could end up with Barry, I could end up with Granato, and so on and so forth. Yeah. And it was a one-day deal, and they made a big deal out of it. But, I mean, I know stations do that. Some people do it like an annual thing.
Yeah. No, I'm talking about...
I know what you're talking about.
I
want to
know.
Out.
Is that like... Was that a myth? Was that from a movie? Because it's just been part of the lexicon
now. I think Dr. Dre on 290 probably could have something legitimate to chime
yeah.
in on.
If you've ever participated in a key party, let me know. Just as long as you're not in my family. I don't want to know if you're...
You want graphic details or just that it's a yes or no thing? Because our suspects are good about that
just
stuff.
The logistics of it. I have some logistical questions.
Okay.
Like, do you get a couple of picks? Do you have to go with the first round pick? Can you trade? Can you go future picks? Like, I have questions. Okay, so
yeah, it's like a white elephant. I mean, can you trade?
Yeah, is it three trades?
Yeah, you get three trades, or is it just first come, first serve?
See what I can't wait. Nice.
Oh, okay,
they're nicely done. I can't wait for white elephant. We play. We have a big Rams and Ollie Thanksgiving.
What are you, Mason Rudolph? You want the white elephant?
Yeah, I want the white elephant.
All right.
Yeah. Don't say stuff like that. You know, I'm not going to hit you if you don't say racial stuff.
Okay, I'm just checking.
How about, man, that's still ridiculous.
How about the fact?
What are you doing? But, yeah, I can't wait, man. We have like 45 people in our family. So
oh
it gets intense.
God. Really?
Yeah, there's no birth control
and everybody
in Pakistan.
Evidently not. And everybody gets together. I mean, there ain't no humping around, but you guys are getting it done.
Yeah,
is it like?
It's awesome. We usually stay in one house, too.
For?
Everyone.
For just what? For Christmas?
So Wednesday night. No, Thanksgiving. So we
Thanksgiving,
do,
okay.
So we'll meet Wednesday night. So I have three uncles. And of the three uncles and my dad also, we rotate. So there's four houses that we rotate with. And everybody shows up on Wednesday night. We all stay in one house. And then
get out of here. You have 45 people staying in your house.
Dude, it's crazy. And look, we're lucky. Like, we do, you know, they have bigger houses. So you can make do. But there's, at night. Every floor space
every
is
couch,
taken.
Every
it's crazy.
Bathtub.
It's so much fun. Wow. And then we play. Then we have Thanksgiving on Thursday, of course. And then afterwards, it gets down to business. White Elephant.
That's some serious. There's intense. A lot going on there. And the food, I mean, how you're going to have food for 45 people?
Yeah. It's intense.
I guess so, and then the man. Morning, you're fighting for seconds.
In the morning, we're playing basketball.
Right? I like that.
So it gets intense. Everyone just goes at me. They're like, they're trying to beat me. I'm like, guys, I just want to shoot around and get some cardio in. You guys play once a year. You guys are trying to, like, injure me right now. This is ridiculous. But then I always beat up on my older brother because I have to.
Yeah,
right?
It's part of the deal, right?
It's part of the – it's payback.
I don't disagree with that. I get that. You know, we have a little competitive spirit in us, so I totally get that. You want to get your buddy who's on the line decide to call in?
Yeah, let's go. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. What's up, Juan? You driving?
Nothing much, guys. How y'all doing?
And doing all
What's
right,
up, man?
Yeah, I'm chilling, driving out. I just passed through Childress, Texas right now, so everything's going well, going smooth. Got about 6 hours left on the road. So we get to the esteemed Jackson Wink MMA training facility.
So you are training with Jackson Wink, right? That is true?
Yeah, I'm training with Jackson Wink for this camp. So in my corner for this fight, I'll have Winklejohn and Greg Jackson. And then one of my old coaches will be there also. So, you know, it'll be a good move for me. Just gotta buckle down, take it a little bit more seriously now. And, you know, that means finding training partners that are serious about it as I am.
Yeah. Do you know, like, if John Jones and those guys are going to be out there, the full roster, or are they on holiday right now?
No, they will be there. Jones, actually, last time I went there after my WWE tryout back in 2017, I believe. Early 2018, I went out there. And he was there. He drove to the gym, actually, and, like, told me I should stay there and just train. And, like, I could be one of his primary training partners. But I didn't think he really wanted me as a training partner. I thought he was just being nice. So I didn't take him up on that. But, now I'm going out there. It's him, and then there's another UFC heavyweight. My buddy Dontell Mays is there, and then Davion Franklin, who's a Bellator heavyweight, will also be there. Those will be my three main training partners. And then they've got a big roster of light heavyweights and heavyweights as well that are high-level, lower-level pros or also in the UFC that they want to learn. So.
That's crazy. Juan Adams, UFC fighter in Houston's own, man. We're excited to hear that you're going down there. It's going to be a good camp. Let me recommend, if you do get a weekend off or a recovery day, get your ass to Santa Fe and just enjoy it. It's one of the coolest cities, bro. And then you got to go to Meow Wolf in Santa Fe if you've never been.
Awesome. Yeah, one of the other heavyweights there took me there last time, and the food was great. It was some of the better coffee I had in New Mexico, so I'm excited to just kind of. I'll be there for 3 months. I'm only coming home for Christmas, and then we get back fight week for that Houston card. So home for Christmas, and then the UFC Houston event.
That's dope, man. Good luck, and let us know. Of course, follow him on Twitter, Juan Adams. You can find him, and you'll be posting updates, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure, man. Chosen Juan, 285.
Go get it.
There you go, Juan. Appreciate you calling,
later,
man.
Guys.
Good luck with everything. All right,
thanks,
there you
man.
Go,
y'all
Juan
have a good one.
Appreciate it, man. You see, you just don't know who's going to call in. It's awesome.
That's nuts. I didn't even know he was listening today. He just saw our tweet and was like, well, let's go. Let's go. I'm driving. I'm bored. Might as well listen to Joel and Raheel fill in for the Blitz with the Usual Suspects, whatever, like the official. I don't know what. We're just here, guys.
Yeah, I mean, we're just doing what we're doing as team players, you know, filling in, helping out, not skipping town to try and take the best vacation spot or side gig.
But
you know how it goes.
If somebody told you right now, like, hey, you want to go to Vegas and you would miss the show, are you taking that trip?
I mean, there's absolutely no way that I could absolutely even think about that twice without thinking, yeah, I'm gone.
Yeah, I'd be like, yeah. No. How many shows do you want me to miss?
Yeah, you got to do that.
I'm good.
Now, if there was a way that I could go and still do the shows.
That would be ideal.
I would still do that.
Yeah. I haven't been to Vegas since they legalized weed.
I'm with you.
I want to know what it looks like. What's the scene like? What's the atmosphere?
I used to go pretty regularly. And then, yeah, you're right. Then with the whole kids thing and everything else, I haven't been there in a while. So that's an interesting question because it was already fantastic. And obviously the nightlife was off the chain. I mean, there was a lot of fun had in Vegas. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, it's got to be even at a different level now with that, right?
And like now there's more DJs out there, you know, like with the residencies. Yep, I haven't been in a while, so I'm going to try sweet-talking AJ into the next one.
You will not be sweet-talking long because that's going to end up with a sourpuss situation.
Yeah.
He's got his people. He knows who's going where.
He's got the Vegas crew.
I mean, that's why Booker T goes, because Booker T just – everybody flocks to Booker T and, you know, swoops them all in. And then from the standpoint of Jerry Bowe's going to make sure that he's giving gambling bets, playing poker, so he and Fred and AJ will be at the tables, and then Nick holds it all down.
Yeah, Jerry's the best. Jerry's the best.
He's playing in the World Series of Poker or something like that out there.
What?
Yeah, he was tweeting something about it starts like Saturday or Sunday, and he's going to be there for 3 days playing in, I want to say it was like either the spinoff of the World Series of Poker or the World Series of Poker. So very cool there, representation. He's also going to be producing the show with Booker T and Brad, so the Hall of Fame. So we got that going for us, which is nice as well. It's those guys tomorrow. We'll be giving you all kinds of information and interviews from Radio Row before the big fight, the Wilder fight, and also... We're going to be back in the studio tomorrow in our regular slot. You're going to be in the mornings where you normally sit, and we're going to be doing what we normally do on a Friday in the big city.
Yep. So, can't wait. Hey, when we get back, you want to hit a little basketball take?
Let's do it. Let's get some basketball, and then we eventually want to get to that Barkley story as well, because a lot of people missed it yesterday. I've got a little insight on you from my experience with being friends with Charles, but a little bit different situation than it might have been the first time he pulled out a line that didn't sit so well. Well, with a member of the media. So we'll get to that, some Rockets, some hoops, and a whole lot more. If there's something you want to talk about, 713-780-3776. HRNP listener line. Call that number. Text that number. Hit us on Twitter. We'll come back with hour number two next on ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.